Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, we're going to be talking about a case study on a property that Jeff is working on. I think this is the one you put in Facebook group, right? The Creative Financing Facebook group. And so I got that information in front of me that you posted.
Oh, good. Maybe I would add one thing.
Okay.
That would be that rents are probably $1,250 to maybe as high as $1,400.
Yeah, your notes said $13.
Oh, did I put that in there? Oh,
that's $1,250 to $1,350.
Okay, I think that's good. Why don't we go through those details just so that if you don't know it, people can follow along. And if you do, you should go back to Facebook, read through it, put together your ideas, and then listen to this episode. It will be very helpful for you.
Yeah, for sure. So this is a kind of a cool episode because you can go into the Facebook group. The information is right there, and I'll go over that right now. So it's a 4-2, four-bedroom, two-bath, manufactured home, built in 1999. My question is on that, Jeff, it's on its own land, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Good area. Property needs flooring in bathroom and kitchen. He spent $8,000 on HVAC, but does not have the outside unit. He should have gotten the outside unit for $8,000.
Yeah, I'm wondering what he's done there, but
it's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Another like an outside unit, so a condenser is going to be another $3,000 to $5,000.
That's why I'm wondering. Maybe he had to have it. All the duct work done. I don't know.
Yeah, that would make sense. But if they're just popping in a furnace and a coil, you know, that'd been another $3,000 or something right there. Yeah. Anyway, ARV. So let me back up. Property needs. Okay, so he's done some work on it. Yard could use some cleanup. ARV is $235,000. He's asking $200,000. Mentioned he would take $150,000 for cash.
Yeah, that's an interesting part. That's certainly what caught my eye. It was that my acquisition guy said he was very stuck on the price of $200,000, but the absolute lowest he would go down to is $150,000. And when you have someone that's giving you those numbers, most likely they've got some motivation here, right? So,
because there's quite a bit of room there.
Yeah, and it was weird because he was really pushing 200, then he threw out 150. So,
So, let's see. Other notes are said no to taking payments for his equity, but then said he needs $10,000 up front and may be willing to carry short term. Do we know what short term is?
No, and to be honest, he really didn't want to carry, but and it's funny, he needs more than $10,000, but that is what he told my acquisition manager. So so let's go off of what we got, and ultimately I'll tell you what we did and why.
Okay.
But that's after you work through it, Jonathan.
Okay. So taxes are, it says $1,056 as owner occupant, probably going to be $2,100 if used as a rental.
Yeah, this area is in Idaho where they get a homestead exemption for taxes. So when it's owner occupied, my guess is it's about half of what it would normally be. So if you wanted to use this as a rental, you would be doubling that tax because he lives in it currently.
That's interesting. So homestead's kind of a discount for your own property?
I guess you could look at it like that. Or it's a penalty to own it as a rental. Guess it depends how you want to look at it.
Yeah. Okay. So we got all the numbers there. This could work as a flip if you can get him down to that 150 mark.
What does he owe, Jonathan? He has a small mortgage on
that. Yeah, he owes. Yeah, I thought I went over that. He owes 31K, which is super small.
Yeah. And he's got a small payment of like 350 a month.
Yeah, 350 a month, PITI.
Yeah, I don't know if that really. Yeah, that's what I was told, PITI, but. I don't know if that really is the case, but I don't think it's going to really matter.
Yeah. So how set is he on the 200?
From my notes, he was very set, but there was certainly conversation that 150 would be doable. What I learned is that it sounded like he had someone else talking to him, another investor.
Okay. Yeah. It did say that. I think it said in his notes, he had another offer, but would not mention what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my question to you, Jonathan, is, And what my hope is, and what we've tried to start doing more and more of, is literally giving out the information that we've already gathered, right? So there are times where, hey, we have really detailed information and you have all the information you may need. And then there are other times where, you know, whoever got the information maybe just didn't dig deep enough and clarify some of the details.
Yeah. So what do we think we'd need to put into it? Flooring, kitchen, bathroom, maybe a condensing unit outside, some cleanup, somewhere around 10 to 15.
Yeah. And I was thinking more 15 to 20, but he's done some work. Like, you know, if he put in new cabinets and countertops in the kitchen, it sounds like he, yeah, this guy's got a really sad story. He got Mercer or some kind of disease and just lost his leg like in the last couple of months. And so, you know, doing any of this work has become ridiculously difficult for him. And they want to move. They have something that they want to go move to. And so, yeah, I think that there's a pretty good motivation on his part, but, you know, there's some competition. We're talking that this is in a very hot market right now. And, so just keep those kinds of things in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So immediately I'm just thinking like short-term finance offer, because I think it does work as a flip, and see if he can carry financing for 6 to 8 months.
Tell me, what would you offer him down?
My purchase price, first of all, would be, yeah, I think 170 purchase price. I think that'd be a good area to, a good purchase price for me. So purchase price 170, 20K down for 6 months. I would probably offer him like $500 a month with, like, you know, the 150 going towards principal pay down or something like that.
Okay. So 500 won't cover him very well with that 350, right? So,
right.
Is it basically just, how much money would you give him down?
20K down.
20,000 down.
Yeah.
Leave the existing debt in place.
Yep.
And basically, yeah, if there is any cash flow, it's pretty minimal, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we could work through the numbers and, you know, create a seller's note.
Yeah. I also did a short term, and you were at 170, huh?
Uh-huh.
What would your cash offer have been?
That would be, well, I guess, so my cash offer, yeah, that's my short term. My cash offer would be like 150 closing 7 days.
Okay, so 150 and then 170.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Jonathan, in your opinion, you're a flipper, what do you think that you could, you would look at doing the rehab here, right? Or would you look to wholesale it?
No, I'd look at rehabbing it myself. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's probably why you're offering a little more than what I'm offering. Because we are not looking to do the rehab, that's for sure.
Are you looking to sell it to a landlord?
I would look at, you know, when I come up with different offers, you know, they may dictate my exit. And so in this case, you know, this may be a decent rental. It may be a good one to buy on terms, sell on terms, and it may be good as a rehab, right? It could fit any of the, or it could be a good owner occupant property.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a number of different ways that we can deal with, you know, a buyer. So I may have different offers, and you know, they're ranging, right? So we have our cash offer, which is the lowest, and then we may have one or two owner finance offers that are going to be significantly higher. But you know, we're going to offer a higher price, but we're going to ask more for our terms that'll fit more with, hey, if he was to take this offer, we could still do pretty well with this if we do this or if we did that. And so I'm looking at it as that there may be a number of different options here. And you're looking at it more as what? More as a rehab, and then you know, and that rehab might be to either someone who wants to retail it or someone that might want to rent it. Is that right?
So initially just as a flip, just to fix it up and put it on the market.
All right. So why don't we discuss one more option that you could present to this seller that may make sense. Now, I get it that this guy initially said he really wasn't open to waiting, but one, the motivation is really high, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a lot of motivation. Two, he made a big deal about the amount of money he was getting, and then he discounted it significantly if we'd come in and move quickly. So in my opinion, maybe he just doesn't fully understand what payments for his equity might mean. And, you know, it's no big deal for me to throw something out there. And, you know, he certainly doesn't need to take it. I'm going to have exactly what you did, a cash offer, and I'm going to have a short-term finance offer. Now the real question is, do I want to add another offer? And if he wouldn't have said that, and I don't know, based on some future conversations, he really does not need 10 grand. I don't know why he said that. It's really more than that he needs, but he did throw that out there initially. And that made me think, hey, if I can figure out a way to get him some money up front, maybe something a little more creative might work for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. If you could figure out a way to give him more up front. So I would think like along the lines of, okay, if I was going to raise that purchase price, it's kind of hard to set what that is, but I'm just going to run through some numbers on my financial calculator. let's say that we could give him 200,000 with 20K down. Or I mean, even could even do like a subordination where we wipe out his existing debt and give him, you know, like 50K down or something. Yeah. But anyway, 20K down, $180,000 purchase price, 3 years or 3% interest amortized over,
So you're doing more of the hybrid interest, is that, or are you amortizing?
Amortized 3%, okay. Amortized okay. Over 360 months. That would bring my payment somewhere around, 758. So that could work as a short term, or I mean, as a rental for me, or, you know, to wholesale it to a landlord, because if we can rent this thing for, you know, say the payment's 800 and
we're ready. Hey, remember those taxes probably are going to double. So, now all of a sudden, you're going to have more like a $160-$170 a month payment on taxes as opposed to, you know, maybe 85.
Yeah. So that would bump it up a little more, take away. So it would be, that'd be 950 range, something like that.
Plus insurance and then,
yeah, you know,
so it might not be, you know,
not a lot of cash flow
rental, right? Not a great cash flow.
Yeah. So in that case, I mean, for like $200 cash flow or $300 cash flow, I don't know that it's worth it for me to hold on to it.
Yeah, I would agree. It's certainly not worth it if you then still need to go put in what, 15, 20, right? So, yeah. Those numbers just don't make sense. I mean, and if you're following along with us right now and you're saying, well, why doesn't that make sense? Being a landlord, having the privilege of being a landlord, does cost money, right? And, you might as well, if you're going to be a landlord, make sure that one, either you have little to no money in it, or two, that the cash flow is enough to justify it.
Yeah.
Because this property is going to end up costing you some money over the years to, you know, make a $250 a month cash flow.
Yeah. So what if we did seller subordination? I'm just trying to think of what the best exit, to me, the best exit strategy, because we could play with the numbers here as a rental, but it's either selling it to an owner occupant or wholetailing it maybe, mm-hmm. or, rehabbing it yourself.
Well, let me ask you. So the first two offers that you made, both cash and the short-term finance, could both be used for your rehabber, right? For you. Yep.
Yeah, those both work. And
certainly your short-term and your cash could be used if you decided to go this route where you could just wholetail it, right? Where mm-hmm. you most likely could just put it on the market and maybe for, 205, 210, something like that. Maybe even a little more, 215 perhaps. And, sell it that way. And so now you're talking about selling to an owner occupant, which is, that you could do in a number of ways, right? You could just wholesale to them, assign your contract and be in it and out of it. And be done, or potentially buy it and stay in the middle if it makes sense, both cash flow wise and equity wise, right? Where you get your multiple payday kind of deal.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
So I'm just trying to run through like a seller subordination offer. Okay. It was 31. It's worth, what do you think it's worth as is? 200?
As is?
As is.
Yep, certainly hard to figure that out, but let's say 200.
Ish.
um,
Yeah, I don't know where I would go with the seller subordination. So if I did a seller, I'm just trying to think of the best exit strategy for that. Would be probably sell to like an owner occupant for seller subordination. And that way I could be into this thing with no money down, have the seller or the buyer, the owner occupant, put up that down payment potentially. Let's see what that would be. Just say it's worth 200. I'm just going to times that by, let's see what, 10% down, 20,000. So selling it to an owner occupant, I don't know if you could really get enough down. I guess you could cover your portion. Like, so if So I'm just kind of running through some ideas here. So seller subordination, I don't know what to offer him as far as purchase price.
You've got some flexibility, remember, right? That,
yeah,
you know, somewhere between 150 and 200, but you already have, you know, an offer up to 170. You may want to reduce those numbers, so it gives you a little more room to work with this owner finance offer. Does that make sense? So maybe you want to come in a little lower cash wise, so you can come in a little lower short-term finance wise. That way you can still make this other offer kind of stand apart.
Yeah. So if I was to do that and offer him, so if I lowered my cash offer to say 140 short-term finance to say 160.
Yeah.
And then do maybe a seller subordination at like 180.
Yeah.
Okay. If we could just wipe out his debt of the 31 and give him 20, do like 51K down. I don't know if 20K works for him. But then we can wipe out his existing debt and give him a note on top of that.
What would the note look like?
So if we did 180 minus 51, that would be 129K.
That you still owe, right?
Yep, that we still owe.
Okay.
And let me just punch it into my calculator. I would...
What was the purchase price you were offering them? 180?
Yeah, 180K, 51K down.
Okay.
Seller subordination. So he'd take his 129K in second position. So 129. Whoop. I would still offer him like present value. Whoop. 3% interest or something, I think. And if I was to amortize that over 360 in. So that would still be it. That's a pretty low payment. $543.87 a month.
Doing it what?
So it would be 129K principal, 3% interest, amortized over 360 months.
So 543.
Yep, 543 for a payment.
Yep.
And
for how long?
6 years.
Okay.
Let's call it.
You'll end up being at 114. So you'll knock off, 10,500 off the principal.
Yep.
Right? You already are buying under market. So the real question is what you'd be selling it for, right? So you're not getting a tremendous amount of principal pay down during those 5-6 years.
Right.
So the one thing that, and I like that idea, I like how you work through that. Now the question would be, and we'll talk about this on the next episode. We'll talk about who was your, you know, what if this was to be accepted? Now, what would you do with it? What would your exit be? And then we'll go over what I offered, and you'll be surprised. It's pretty similar.
We'll compare notes.
So why don't we do that? Why don't we wrap this one up, and we'll continue this on a second episode where we'll go over your exit and then, you know, the offers that I came up with.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, guys. Hope you have been enjoying this episode, and definitely go check out our Facebook group, because again, the details is posted therein. So, you know, you can go there, reference that, and then follow along with us here on the podcast. You guys can, and please, in that group, if you guys need help with deals, we're trying to get people to post their deals there rather than call our hotline. And so if you have a deal that you're working on, just post the information like we did, you know, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, or like Jeff did rather, but you know, what they're asking, what they, are they open to terms, you know, so on and so forth. But then we can kind of have the community come together, and help you guys work through those. Guys, you can find all of our episodes at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. That is our archive. And if you're looking for our earliest episodes, I think you have to go to, you have to go to May, not
January. I don't know. There's another month ahead of May. I think it's January. And
yeah, there's,
we did not start then. So
no, we didn't start, but that's when I opened the account. So
I get it. Okay.
There's nothing there, but if there was something archived, we did post something, it would have been from there. So anyway, started in May. So that's where, you know, if you go to our archive, that's where our earliest episodes are. We always encourage you to go back and listen to the first 10, 15, because we really just go over each strategy individually. And it's a pretty thorough introduction to the strategies we talk about on this show. And, you know, some of the offers we just ran through. if you guys are interested in our Creative Financing Academy, please hit us up on our hotline at 877-409-8090. You can also text CFP or Creative Financing to that number, and you'll receive special access to a step-by-step video on where Jeff takes you through creating offers, just like we've been talking about on this show. And he goes through his exit strategy and shows you how he makes money doing it. So definitely go get that if you haven't yet. If you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, please email Rebecca, and that's Rebecca at weofferoptions.com. Just let her know you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program. And what else, Jeff? Did I cover it all?
I think you covered it. That's a mouthful. So
it always is.
Our announcements are long, but get involved in the Facebook group. That's free. And, you know, if you want some furthering education, we've got a couple of things for you. So certainly inquire about that. But we're going to try to do some more concurrent things on the Facebook group and then discuss on the podcast. So I think that'll be more helpful for some.
Yep. Cool. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.